The following presentation is brought to you by
Heartland Media Group.
Capturing the moments that make life great. Let's go, girls.
It's about growing personally and professionally.
What's the one thing that really drives you, that really drives your passion?
It's about climbing the ladder or opening a new door.
Too many people give up too early on their dream.
It's about enjoying your professional journey.
I enjoy what I do.
It's about keeping things real.
So the interview is an interviewing interview. I like this.
It's all about you.
But I knew that there was something else I wanted to do with my life. I knew I wanted to help people.
This is Up or Out with Connie Fife.
We love your voice. You need to be on radio.
And now, your host, Connie Fife.
Well, hey there, it's Connie Fife, and you're listening to Up or Out with Connie, where we are helping you to build your strategy to move up in your corporate job, or maybe it's design plan B, and to help you get bigger, go faster, go louder and better. So it's time to turn up the volume because it is Up or Out time. So get ready to design your freedom. Now remember, our show is Bite Sides on steroids. Now think of it as binge eating. And stay tuned to the end of the show because I do have some really great giveaways for you. So here is today's challenge question. And I was asked this question by our guest earlier today, and I'm going to ask it of you. How are you working with employees? Even 1099 contractors, there is a difference. There is definitely a difference working with them as well. But we're going to learn more about that on today's show. So sit back, relax, because you're going to be hearing more from the HR guy because he is helping small business. As you all know, you have a passion for what you do. Maybe it's a service, maybe it's a product. I don't know what that is, but you have a passion for what it is that you do, or maybe something that you want to do. But how do you get there? Because what happens, especially as entrepreneurs, you spend so much time in creating, you forget about the marketing, and then you focus on the marketing, and then you start thinking, oh, what about the finances? I need to make money to make this happen. And then when you get the finances, and then you need the resources, and then you get the resources, and then you bring people on. And sometimes you don't bring in the right people. Because remember, you get what you pay for. So you want to make sure you bring the right person on. And I have so many of those horror stories from working in my corporate job to having my small business. So get ready to hear more about how you can make those right decisions. Because right now, it is my pleasure to introduce the HR guy for small business, Russell Lookadoo. So Russell, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity. Enjoy chatting with you. I think you summed it up really, really well in the introduction. We may be done, actually. No.
Oh, we'll talk about question,
we put the question in the issue out there, and your characterization about having that in the small business world and in the corporate world, my value that I think I bring to the small business owners, they don't have a four called HR. They can't pick up the phone and dial Connie in HR, get rid of this person, find me this person, what do I do to motivate this person? They don't have that speed dial in business because they're barely, you know, there's this misperception that business owners are all wealthy, and some are. And
You're not? Wait a minute.
But the but the only way to do that is to get work done through other people, either contractors, and we can definitely talk about the difference there. But who did they call? They can't talk about their problems in their company because it's small.
That's right.
They maybe talk about it with their spouses who get tired of hearing about it.
That's true.
They may or may not have an advisor of co-business owner or something like that, but there's no reciprocity there. Right. So they need the HR guy, and that's me. I'm in the old term Rolodex, right with their CPA, right with their attorney, right with their banker as key advisors. Only it's closer to the heart.
Well, you know what, though, too? having that HR guy on speed dial not only helps you with that person that you have on the team, you know, somebody like you can help them evaluate, make sure that they're hiring the right person. And sometimes, and I'm afraid to say, it does take a little extra cash to hire that right person, but it also saves you and keeps you out of trouble too.
No question. Regardless of your politics, right now the federal government is in extremely activist mode. The Department of Labor, I saw a statistic the other day where wage and hour audits are up 300% from 10 years ago. We can talk about what wage and hour is, but I'm not sure we want to go that deep today.
But you know, let's hold on that one. I think that could be a whole another conversation about the pros and cons of that and how that works. So jumping back to the small business guy. So now, when you say small business, I mean, are you talking one employee, 50 employee? I mean, what is your definition then of small business?
I think the definition of small business does vary. Some of my clients have over 100 employees. Most of my clients have 15 to 30.
Okay.
What you're looking at is they've got more than a couple employees, but they can't afford a full-time HR person.
Okay.
And the Society for Human Resource Management says that the typical role is 100 employees or more, you need a full-time HR department. If it's a professional services company, where your inventory is the minds of the workers, it's
probably
50. So to me, small business, my group that I find the most need is that 5 to 50 employees.
All right. So you said something there that I don't even know if I'm clear on. What's the difference of having the number of employees that provide services versus the number of employees that are actually providing a product or a widget?
Well, I think the issues are the same, but when you're dealing with and all work is honorable, all work is important.
Right.
But if you're a retailer with 10 stores and you've got 10 clerks in each store, then your processes and your systems for hiring and monitoring, things like that, are replicated.
Okay.
Let's say in a marketing firm where you've got graphic designers, you've got artists, you've got technologists, you've got creative people. All those are very different profiles for the type of people you want and how to manage those people. What motivates a designer is different than what motivates a store clerk or a shovel pusher in a construction company. So the importance of the keeping them mentally engaged, if you're buying this, you're buying the space between their ears, you're not buying feet. And so you have to be more on top of your game.
Okay, because if they leave with that intellectual property, they leave. It's not that they can leave a widget or blueprint behind. So that's important. That's really important there. So I think I might be getting a free session from you today, because another question I have is, what if you have contractors? Now, I working with a lot of speakers, coaches, artists, authors, they have gobs of contractors, and those contractors are across the country. Some I know are even overseas. So how does that come into play? So what is the difference between that, a 1099, versus having a physical employee?
Okay, and the label you just used, 1099, comes from the IRS code and the reporting requirements of how you pay them. Essentially, that's the fundamental difference. There is a 24-point test that the IRS has to approve a contractor versus an employee. They want you to have employees. And there's a tax burden on the employer that's then shifted to the contractor when you use the 1099 approach. But it's actually more difficult to manage 1099 providers than it is employees. Because by definition, they can walk away.
Absolutely. I mean, even if there's a contracts or agreements in place, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, taking it off the table. Now, I've had, I mean, hundreds of employees that, you know, when I was working in corporate to, again, my small business. And I've had some employees really that have to have been escorted out of the building.
Sure.
And it gets pretty, I mean, you don't want to take anything personally, but I mean, it gets pretty tense at time, because you are taking away someone's income. Maybe they don't have anything else to go to. So sometimes it's hard, but I always, and somebody said this to me years ago, you're an employer, you're not a social welfare office. You know, you're not the welfare office. You're not there just to provide them a paycheck. They have to be providing a service or something back to you in return. So how do you quantify that as an employer if you have that unhappy employee or contractor?
Okay. I'll touch on one other thing. When it comes to terminating people, and I have a process that I teach my clients, the number one thing is you have to have, when you terminate someone, and it's an act of commission. They've done something bad. They've stolen. They've struck another employee. You have to say to yourself, even though you may have been close with this person, worked with them a long time, this, you have to tell yourself, I'm not firing them. They fired themselves when they did whatever it was a terminating offense. And so you can detach yourself emotionally from that.
Okay.
If you're off, there's some more emotional baggage involved. But the number one thing I teach my clients, Connie, is you absolutely have to make sure you are safe and the other employees are safe.
Okay.
That's one. Number two is you've protected the company. So have you disconnected their access to your databases, your passwords?
Right.
Do you have assurance that they're not going to strike out against another employee when they're on their way out the door? Number three, you want to preserve their dignity. So when you terminate someone, you want to plan to have boxes ready to box their stuff up.
Okay.
That you transport them back to the office. You schedule a time maybe after work hours for them to clean up their office. Because when you have protected yourself, you protected the company, protected the dignity of the person you're terminating, even if they've committed an onerous act.
Okay.
If they leave with their dignity somewhat intact, they're less likely to go see the lawyer and sue you.
Okay. A great advice. Absolutely great advice, Russell. We're going to take a break right here for just a brief pause so we could hear a little bit from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Greg Davis. Connie asked me to pop in for a moment to tell you about a great opportunity. Have you ever listened to a podcast and thought, I should be doing that, but I don't know how, I don't know where to start? Well, Up or Out with Connie Fife has partnered with Park Lane Media Group to offer you PMR podcast production. What is PMR? Production, marketing, response. The three key elements you need to successfully build your podcast success. For more information, visit parklanemediagroup.com or email podcast@parklanemediagroup.com and be sure to let them know that Connie sent you. You have a story to tell. We'll help you share it. Come to parklanemediagroup.com today and start building your podcast success.
And we're back, and this is Connie Fife, and you're listening to Up or Out. And today we're talking with Russell Lookadoo. He's done human resources in corporate for lots and lots of years. And the last 11 years, he's gone off to be his own boss, an entrepreneur like many of us. Mm-hmm. And he's the HR... How do I say that?
H architecture.
Thank you. That's Southern drawl in me sometimes can't get some of those words out. But Russell's been the HR guy for small business for 11 years, and he just has a passion for what he's doing, and he works with small business because you have a passion for what you're doing. But sometimes you get capped off by that, that capacity, and you need to have somebody else in your corner to protect you. Because again, you want to make sure. I've had employees, and I'll share a quick story with Russell. I had actually two come to mind. One, his name was Bob, and he came to us highly recommended, a great sales guy. And this was before I believed in personality assessments. And it was about that time I was starting to learn more about it. And I found out that he had someone else take his personality assessment for him because he wanted to work on our team that bad.
I've seen that before. I use personality assessments.
That was the first time. Well, now I am certified. I am licensed. And whenever I work with somebody, they're taking a personality test, even if I have to sit down and watch them. But So we had to escort Bob out. There was another time, there was another time I remember we had this woman and she was very poor body hygiene. I hate to say it, very poor body hygiene. And her counterparts around her were, you know, would talk to her about it. To the point where she didn't wear a bra and she was endowed. And I finally, you know, we had several conversations with her. We had somebody take her shopping to Victoria's Secrets to help her out. You know, maybe she doesn't have the cash. We knew she was a single mom. And we were really trying to help this woman out. I finally had to let her go. Not because of that, though. Not because of that at all. It was because of her language and the way she was talking when she was out meeting with clients. And so she filed against us saying it was because of her hygiene and lack of clothing that we had fired her. And I actually had to go to the state about that because she filed with the Human Resource Board through the state. And I went to the state, we had to testify. It was finally thrown out. But that's the other thing too, because people are going to exaggerate or look at it in a different way, but it was just really great to know that we had everything documented. So all we had to do was go to the state board and say, here's all of the documentation. She was not fired for not wearing undergarments. She was fired because of her behavior with clients. So to have somebody like you in the there in the corner working with the small guy and make sure everything is documented, it really is priceless because it keeps you out of trouble.
What happens in the small business that's different in the corporate world? In the corporate world, like you said, you could have picked up the phone and called the HR guy in the company and they'd have come over.
Right. Didn't have that.
Yeah. In the small business owner always, I shouldn't say always, frequently makes the mistake of hiring friends and family.
Yeah.
And often the friends and family take advantage of that and they don't perform. They're lax about the way they come to work because, hey, my brother's not going to fire me.
Right.
And the other employees say, his brother gets away with this. He doesn't ever shave. He doesn't come to work in the dress code mat. Why should I?
Right.
And if you come down on the non-family member employee, and you don't come down on a family member employee,
right?
Non-family member employee walks.
Yeah.
So one of my rules is you don't hire someone you can't fire.
Right. That's a really, really good advice. And not just as an employee, but as a client. Because as small business owners, I know I used to, when I first started out, I'd have friends coming to me and family coming to me. Could I work with you? Could I work with you? No, I'm not going to pay you. And it's like, no, I'm not a charity. You know, so I don't even work with people that I can't fire.
Right. And in the sensitive situations, often the HR can come in and provide a perspective that's not boss employee.
Right.
Say, I'm working for the company. I'm part of management, but I'm here to make you successful. Take a bath.
Yeah. So you didn't always start in HR. So what made you so fascinated by people?
Well, I think my first interest came from when my dad ran a small business. We sold and repaired bicycles. And every time we'd hire somebody, they just didn't seem to get it. And dad would have to work all night, or I'd have to go in and work all night.
Right.
Others. And so he gave up on hiring people, and that limited his business. I got into series of college interns, I said, it comes down to the people. There's not a cell made. There's not a widget made. There's not a fork truck driven. There's not a truck driven, a shovel turned, a piece of candy sold in the store without a person. I know you have vending machines, but somebody has to stock the vending machines.
This is true. Yes.
The most important part of any business is not the product. It's the people.
And that is so, so true. And it's hard to find and keep good people.
And the second part's important. You got to find the right ones. And there's processes and procedures and tests. You mentioned profiles. That's one of nine steps that I recommend in the hiring process. But then how do you clarify what it is they're supposed to do? How do you keep them on track? How do you provide to keep them doing what they're supposed to do? Connie, did you know, and this is a theory I haven't seen anywhere else or researched, but my observation is that good performers Well, let me go the other way. Bad performers, in the absence of feedback, keep doing what they're doing.
That's right.
Good performers, in the absence of feedback, will change what they do because they seek feedback to get better.
That's really powerful.
So they often stop doing the good things to get a reaction, not intention.
Right.
This is all, you know, the way the brain works. This is all deep in the brain. So I teach leaders in small business, how do you provide feedback? Now, I work with a lot of IT companies and a lot of engineering companies and wonderful, brilliant people, but communication is not a strength.
Wow. Wow. That is powerful. So is all of this on your website?
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So on your website is the hrguy.biz.
Correct.
So, yeah. So you have been listening to Russell Lukadu, who is the human resource guy. He's the guy for small business. He's been in business for 11 years working with small business, and he knows. I mean, he's lived this as a young man and helping and working with his family. But to find out more about him, it's the hrguy.biz. And Russell, thanks for being here today. You've been a fabulous, fabulous guest. Would love to have you back on the show again another time.
Perfect.
And for everyone listening, thank you for being here. And this is Connie Fife. And remember, head on over to my website at upperout.com. We have a lot of giveaways. We're still giving away the action plan, 182 pages, to get you in motion and help you create your plan B. So this is Connie Fife. Until next time, thanks for listening to Upper Out. And remember, on all of the social media sites, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, and iTunes, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. But until we meet again, I want you to be unstoppable.